Disruption Zone. Opportunity lives where the status quo dies. Talking to the greatest innovators, disruptors, and off-the-wall inventors we can scrounge up. You laugh, you'll learn, you'll be inspired. Now, here are your hosts, Leland Conway and Cameron Mills.
Welcome back to the Disruption Zone. My friend and cybersecurity expert, Sean Tuma, is joining us now. Sean, give everybody your website or how people can get a hold of you and what you do, because you do a lot in cyber law and protecting people and companies from their data being breached and how to navigate those situations.
Sure. Thank you, Leland. Yeah. My law firm is Spencer Fain, and we are in most of the country. My office is in Texas, but I work all over the country. And our website is www.spencer, S-P-E-N-S-E-R, Fain, F-A-N-E.com.
Excellent.
And all my contact information's on there.
Cool. Awesome. I want to talk about contact tracing, speaking of which. Before we do, how are you getting through the COVID quarantine? What are you watching on TV? Netflixing it, or what are you doing?
Man, I got to tell you, Leland, I'm not getting much time to watch TV at all. cyber and privacy has gone through the roof. Hackers are just decimating small to mid-sized business with their attacks on people working from home.
Wow. And it I mean, if you don't have a really good security, you know, setup, you know, it can be, you can be vulnerable. I've got a what they call a static IP address that's direct to my house, and that's enabled me to, because I work from home, and it's enabled me to do that and do it securely. But you know, if you don't put a password on your Wi-Fi, dude, you're cooking it. You're asking for it, aren't you?
Amen. That, you know, we're seeing a lot of ransomware attacks coming through, not having good passwords, not having multi-factor authentication, phishing emails, and then people using remote desktop without a VPN and a multi-factor. That is just killing them.
Is there a VPN that you recommend for people? Like if I'm working at, say, a Starbucks, not now because we can't, but when we can again, is there a VPN that you recommend that's good for something like that when you're remote?
You know, we use Cisco AnyConnect, and I know that it's been vetted and works well.
Yeah.
I actually did a webinar with the FBI last night, and they said really the key thing to do is you want to use a domestic U.S. VPN, because they're governed by our privacy laws, and that makes a big difference.
Are you sure we don't want to use the Wuhan Cybersecurity Institute? I'm just throwing that out there. I've heard good things, you know. It's
man, you're right. That may be a red flag.
Maybe. Just a little. Maybe not the most secure. Let's dive into contact tracing. It's interesting to me because there seems to be a lot of controversy about it, and rightfully so. And I find it fascinating that you and I, on my various radio shows over the years, have been warning people about giving up too much of your data, and we willingly have given up so much. And now along comes the government and says, hey, we could use that. And our companies that supposedly protect our data are like, okay, let's do it. Now, you have to opt in, I think, but there are some states that are considering making it mandatory that you opt in. So there's a Google and Apple partnership. Explain how contact tracing would actually work.
Yeah, you know, the first thing you just said right there, Google and Apple partnership, is enough to make the hair stand up on some people's neck alone, right?
Right.
And so what they're talking about, and it's interesting because from what I've read, they seem to be taking the more conservative approach for protecting privacy, which is crazy.
Right.
Developing a way to use Bluetooth technology through our cell phones so that whenever the cell phones come into contact with others, there's like a little beacon that they keep within the phone.
Okay.
And so then it there's no personal information other than what's in that beacon about I was within, I think, 15 feet or something, you know, like that of this person. And then it keeps that. And then later, if a person comes in and let's say you and I are within 15 feet of each other, and I find out that I got the virus, and I update my settings, if you will, to say, oops, I now have it. It would then communicate with your phone through that beacon to say, hey, Leland, guess what? You were within 15 feet of someone. Now you need to self-quarantine.
Okay.
It wouldn't tell you who I was. It wouldn't even tell you where we were. It would just
tell you. Just that I did. I was close to
someone. That it happened, right? And so Apple and Google want to keep that limited in that way and the data residing only on the phones. Now these governments are coming in and saying, hang on a minute, if you're doing that, we not only want to know that you were in contact with someone, we want to know where it was, and we want to know who it was. And so what we're seeing is what always gets us as human beings. It's incrementalism.
Yeah.
It started off as one little thing, and then it morphs into all these others. And that's really what's revived this concern over what's going to happen to our privacy, especially, like you said, if it's mandated.
Well, there are several states that are talking about, let's say if you go to a restaurant, you have to write your name down, your address, and your email. And then they'll contact you if somebody comes through there or was there at the same time. And then you might, you know, this is really Orwellian. Like, and what it's going to do is it's going to slow recovery, because nobody's going to want to go to a restaurant and give over all their private information so they can have some, you know, jackboots come to their house later and knock on their door and say, we're going to drag you down here and get you tested or whatever. And I know, and I'm not saying that to minimize the virus. I don't want anybody to get it, but this right. whole thing seems kind of crazy. Like, when you think about 15 feet apart, if you have a pretty strong immune system, right, there's the chances you get COVID from somebody, even if you're within 6 feet of them, are not 100%. They may not even be 50%, right? Like, so to make the assumption, because I would venture to say that at least at the height of this, there's a good chance I've been within 15 feet from somebody who has had it, and yet I haven't had it yet, knock on wood, right? I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like we're making major assumptions based on proximity, and there's no real way to figure out if that person really needs to quarantine.
Right. And then what are the penalties if you don't?
Right. This is
it's
terrifying.
You know, I mean, Leland, I've been practicing law for 20 years now, and I try to avoid all the talk of conspiracies.
Right.
Because I've seen too much over the years, but I don't discount conspiracies, because what we call those in the business world are strategic plans.
Right.
You know, and it's the same thing. We're going to try to get to that point Z, and we got to go through these to get there. And we're not going to reveal our plans until the end, because if we reveal our plans,
right,
our competitors will circumvent them. Right?
Right.
That's what we do in the business world.
Right.
But it is really, you know, when you look at what this fear of this has made us willing to do as a society,
right,
it is shocking. I mean, you know, 6 months ago, if you and I would have had this conversation talking about people in China under the state realm being willing to put these things on their phones and do this, we would have laughed and said, that's insane.
Yeah.
Why are these Chinese willing to do this? You know, this would never happen in America. And now we get afraid, and we're willing to jump all the way to the end of the spectrum just to protect ourselves.
Yeah. I'm going to be doing a podcast with Dr. Charles Pemberton. He's a clinical therapist. And we're going to be talking about, there's this, I don't know if you saw, there was an article that's kind of gone viral on Facebook. I don't know who the guy is, but it's really thoughtful. But the title of it is, Are We Being Primed? And the point of the article is he's talking about like words like, or phrases like, stay home, stay safe, or safer at home, or, you know, just these various phrases that we're hearing. And we're hearing them from our political leaders. We're hearing them from the scientists. We're hearing them in every single ad that airs. We're seeing them on the little letter signs that you can change out the signs in cities and towns and parks and everywhere. And it's like we're being conditioned to continue living steeped in this fear. And there's an element of all of this that sort of ties together. Now, I'm with you. I don't typically buy into overarching conspiracies, but what I do buy into is human nature. And what I'm seeing is if you understand human nature, you understand that you have fear, which allows people to be controlled, and you have politicians who like to control people. There's an opportunity that's arisen. And I'm not saying that they set out to do this. I'm saying they recognize the opportunity and they're taking the opportunity. I think that's a serious concern people should have.
Yeah. It's like, oh wow, this works well. Let's keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so simple. Like, you know, I went to get my haircut the other day and gave me a thermometer, like on my forehead. And wore a mask. So, you know, protocol was followed. There was no need to take down anything else. You know, there are common sense ways that businesses can help to keep people safe and be open without having to have all this intrusiveness. Now, I don't know if you've seen the Forbes article on this, but apparently Apple and Google are what you sort of a recap of what you just said, that they want this information to be kept very tight on the phone. And now Forbes is saying that that's causing a problem for contact tracing because Apple and Google are controlling, and these other apps that want to develop it can't get as broad as they want to get. And so there's this argument going on with the tech companies about, no, we need all this information. And Apple and I don't know if this is weird or not, but I'm going to say it. Might I say for once, thank God for Apple and Google? I mean, they might be keeping that wall up of privacy.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, and then we have to ask, is it because they're trying to do the right thing?
Right.
Or is it because they've got a plan for this data down the road?
Yeah.
You know, right. And they're like, no, we're not letting anybody in on it. And none of us, we don't know the answer to that. But that's the challenge here, Leland, is we're trying to find a balance on this continuum between privacy and liberty,
right,
and the effectiveness of these tools and the invasiveness of these tools, so that we're somewhere in the middle where we're not having to give up too much of our privacy, but we're giving up enough to make this actually work and be effective.
Right.
Because if it doesn't work and it's not effective, then there's no point in giving up any of our privacy for something that's not effective.
Right.
Right. So we're trying to find that balance. And the problem is the goalposts keep shifting.
Right.
And that's the incrementalism. You know, it starts off with the, well, let's just have a beacon on our phone and let's just allow our phones to communicate. And then people kind of accept that. And they're like, yeah, okay, that's not no big deal.
Right.
And then it's like, well, to make it work better, we need to do this. And so then, you know, how dare you not be, you're already willing to put a beacon on your phone. How dare you not be willing to give up your location?
Right.
You know, and then you become acceptance of that. And so then it's the next step. And that's why, you know, someone who takes a hard line is always this, grumpy old whatever who doesn't want to help and hates people.
Right.
But then if you don't take that hard line, we know human nature.
Right.
And human nature is to always push for the next level.
Yeah.
And that's how we lose our privacy. And unfortunately, once that privacy's gone, it's like a balloon that's been pricked with a pin.
Yeah.
It's over. It don't come back.
Can you imagine a scenario where the government gets its hands on this information, contact tracing, and wants to give it back? In other words, you know what I mean? It's like, you've got to be kidding me, because there's so many applications that can be used. As long as you know someone's phone number, you know where they are, who they're around every single day. I can't imagine the government saying, yeah, we'll give that up.
I have never in my lifetime of study of government and law and some to some degree history ever seen a situation where the government, once it has taken or obtained some level of power, goes backwards.
Yeah.
And same is true with technology, by the way.
Right.
And once technology is released and it and capabilities, I've never seen them go backwards.
Right.
You know, and, right. and retreat, if you will.
There's too many ways that I can see the government justifying to the American people that they need to keep this in place. And again, it's all going to come back to, if you're not doing anything wrong, what do you need to worry about? My only hope is that maybe this is a bridge too far, because we are seeing an enormous amount of controversy on it, and maybe it wakes the American people up, and maybe they say, no, I mean, I'll wear a mask in public.
Yeah.
You know, I'll stand 6 feet away from somebody. I'll forego going to a concert or a baseball game for a season, but no, I'm not going to let you track me to within a foot of where I am 24/7.
I hope that's the case.
Yeah.
It scares me to think of if it's not.
Right.
But you know, the other layer to put on this is, look at all of the, for lack of a better word, the Karens that we have in our society now.
I love that reference.
They're like so anxious to report and tattletale on someone who's not doing, you know, confinement or distancing or whatever. Those are the people that would be the first to say, not only do we want this technology, we want it to be used to penalize these people if they leave their home or if they gather or whatever. And just the potential there is crazy.
Have you seen the mayor of Los Angeles, Eric Garcetti, is actually giving rewards to people who are snitching on people who are breaking the mandate? And what's, I don't know if you saw it or not, but it was a viral video. Kevin James, actor Kevin James, did a hilarious 2-minute short film that was impactful and funny about this. But I mean, you have a mayor of it. I don't even know how that's constitutional, paying. I mean, I guess it is, but it's like, I don't know how it's constitutional. It's normally they say snitches get stitches.
Yeah.
Now snitches get rewards. I mean, what are we doing here?
It's the divisiveness. And you know, Leland, the biggest price we're going to pay for all this is the division of our country. I mentioned I did a webinar with our FBI here in Texas last night, and one of the issues, you know, and this, the FBI didn't talk about this part, but you and I and most people know that when people refer to the 2016 election as being hacked,
right.
There was no hacking.
Correct.
It was a disinformation campaign that was used to create dissension amongst the people in the United States.
Correct.
Not for any one particular side or the other, just to divide the people.
Right.
Well, one of the points that was mentioned last night was that, you know, now China and Russia may be coordinating their efforts.
Wow.
In promoting disinformation. And it's not for any one side or the other.
Yeah.
It's just to create dissension and to turn brother and sister against brother and sister.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening. And we're destroying our fabric of our country over Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, primarily.
I've noticed that too. I've got friends in the media that, you know, longtime friends that have now, they've said some really nasty things to me. Not that it hurts me or feelings. I don't really care. I'm just like, all right, I knew who you were anyway. But it just, I'm just like, you know, we used to be on, I guess, civil terms, and now they're saying, you know, I'm just like, what is wrong with you? Because I have a different opinion, because I believe we can reopen the country and protect the vulnerable at the same time. I was talking about this the other day. We know who the vulnerable population is now. We just have inflexible leaders who aren't, you know, if you're in a battle in war and the enemy moves, or you now can see where the enemy is, if you keep fighting as though you can't see where they are, or you don't react to where they moved, you're an idiot. And we now know who the vulnerable population is. We need to be focusing on protecting them and letting everyone else go out and get herd immunity and get back to work. And to not do that is economic suicide. And frankly, it's physical suicide, too, because a lot of people are going to die from the poverty that's brought about on this. I know this isn't cybersecurity, yeah. but I think
that it's true.
Yeah.
It's a consequence that, you know, it's a complex problem and there are no simple answers.
Yeah.
And none of us own all of the information involved.
Right.
And you have to look at the big picture, and that is very much a part of the big picture.
Yeah. So do you think that contract tracing is going to be controversial enough to stall it, or do you think that it's going to end up being the reality of our new normal?
I don't think it's going to become widespread.
Right.
I think,
but
there
some
are,
states will do it.
Certain. Maybe. I would think it would be a California that would lead the way there. But
Washington,
see, the
yeah.
problem with California, and this is why privacy is such an interesting subject from a political standpoint, is usually California is very, very protective of their privacy of individuals.
Right.
And at the same time, the people who tend to lean that way are the ones who are leaning that way on wanting all this control over movement and whatnot. And so it's a very interesting dichotomy, but I don't think we're going to see widespread adoption.
I hope not.
I hope not as well.
Yeah, California is weird. In California, if you have HIV and you know it, and you have relations with someone and don't tell them, you can't be held legally responsible for that. But if you violate the 6-foot social distance and not wearing a mask, you could be thrown in jail. I mean, that's California. It's just like, what are you talking about? Which would you rather have, a sexually transmitted disease or COVID? I mean, I'm going to take my chances with COVID, but I mean, it's weird. I don't understand that mentality at all. So,
it's not always looking at the big picture. It's a lot of activism focused on single issues.
Yeah.
And the nature of that is you don't look at the big picture. You look only at your core issue.
Yeah.
And that creates some controversial things sometimes.
Well, thanks for being a part of this. If the Apple Google thing was also opt-in, correct? So if a state wants to override that, they would be mandating to their population that they check in via their cell phone with the state. That's pretty big deal.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
especially when all these states are now promoting and pushing for privacy laws to protect the information of individuals.
Well, Kentucky's governor in particular thinks he's everybody's dad. So I haven't heard any inklings that he's considering this. I don't want to, you know, falsely make that statement, but I wouldn't be surprised if the people who are advising him, they've given him such terrible advice so far that I wouldn't be surprised if we don't soon hear him talking about this. So Sean, it's always good talking to you. Thanks for being a cyber hawk for our privacy. We appreciate your time today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, Leland.
All right, we'll talk soon. Thanks.
Sounds good. Bye-bye.
All right, Sean Tuma, cybersecurity expert, super good guy. I haven't heard any discussion that Andy's thinking about that, but you know, there's people around him that are giving like the whole ill-fated, you can go to church now because the court said we had to let you go to church, but you can't sing in church, right? Like, who's advising him on this? What does this mean? Where does this, and like these arbitrary numbers, like if you reopen your business, you can only have 33% occupancy. Where does that number come from? Where did they just, somebody just pull that out of their butt? And where did that come from? It doesn't make any sense. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on old Uncle Andy. I just wanted to mention one other thing before we wrap up today's episode. And if you've been listening, if you're listening to this 2 weeks from now, catching up on podcasts, this may seem a little outdated. But the Flynn story and the Russiagate explosion that's going on right now. The Michael Flynn story, for those of you that have had your head in the sand, he was President Trump's incoming national security advisor. He had been spied upon by the FBI and several other three-letter agencies of the government. They entrapped him into lying to them, and then he pled guilty to that under severe pressure. And now the Justice Department has dropped his case because they realize how much wrongdoing was taking place in the FBI. In fact, the FBI was and other organizations were looking at him because he had been talking to people that we were spying on. And he had been unmasked by members of the Obama administration. And when they looked into him, they couldn't find any incriminating anything. And so the FBI was like, okay, we're going to drop this. And then along comes higher ups, we think, potentially Comey, or at least from that office, perhaps Andrew McCabe, come along and say, no, let's keep this open. We want to keep this open. And there's no evidence, but we want to keep this open. This is part of the Russiagate fiasco. He was the incoming national security advisor. He's supposed to talk to people. We spy on everybody, enemies and friends alike. And so it's inevitable that we'll catch those conversations. And the unmasking wasn't so much the problem, because sometimes if you're hearing conversations and you want to get context and you know who's on both ends of it, that wasn't the problem. The problem was that the information in the unmasking about Flynn was being leaked to the media for political purposes, right? So anyway, this whole thing blows up, and now we get a story. HotAir.com had this story. Well, actually, Tucker Carlson at Fox News had a story that they're getting ready to declassify intel analysis that shows that Russia actually wanted Hillary to win, which is something I've been saying from the beginning of this, and I've had liberals mocking me for. But the true interest for Russia would have been Hillary, because she helped navigate Russia through some major deals on uranium and other things that made Putin and his oligarchical buddies extremely wealthy. Hillary Clinton was the best case scenario for Russia. It never made sense that Trump would have been what Russia wanted, right? So anyway, Tucker Carlson has this story that they're about to declassify intel analysis that shows that Hillary, that Russia wanted Hillary to win. But not only that, but that that information was suppressed by, I believe it was John Brennan, CIA director John Brennan, suppressed intelligence. This is from HotAir.com on Russia wanting Hillary to win the 2016 election. And then, actually, this comes from Fox News. And then he actually actively promoted information that was the opposite of that, and it was the paid dossier, the dossier that Hillary Clinton and the DNC had paid for. So you had the director of the CIA suppressing information that was legit, that showed Russia wanted Hillary to win, and promoting bad information that they knew was paid campaign opposition research. That is next level coup stuff, right? Like, there's no other way to describe that. That is next level corruption, okay? Because this guy's the CIA, right? He's supposed to be tasked with protecting America, and what he's doing is protecting the Democrats. Now, I believe this all came from President Obama, because I was actually listening to Rush Limbaugh the other day, which I rarely get a chance to do, but he pointed out something that was interesting. There was a meeting with Obama and a lot of these top officials, and at around the same time was a bunch of the unmasking of Flynn. So it just feels like this whole thing was a coup. It was an attempt to undermine an incoming president. That and the Flynn story and the Russia collusion hoax is kind of inexorably tied together. So what I've noticed, and this is the point I wanted to make, what I've noticed is the mainstream media has been spinning this very deceitfully. First of all, the media is claiming that the intel agencies were, quote, spying on our enemies, not on Flynn, and that Flynn just got caught up in it. That's not entirely true. Initially, yes, we were spying on people that we always spy on, and Flynn happened to be talking to them. Now, if you're wondering why he was talking to people we were spying on, it goes back to what I said earlier. It was because he was an incoming national security advisor. It was his job to talk to people, and we spy on everybody, enemies and friends alike. And yes, we talk to our enemies. So that's not weird. And it's not weird that they would unmask him to see what the context was. What's weird is that they would leak it to the media. Multiple three-letter agencies, though, went through his life with a fine-tooth comb, and they found nothing, and they reported that they found nothing and were about to move on when officials high in the FBI decided to keep an investigation going, ostensibly without evidence. So, yes, they spied on him, and they fabricated what looks like, it appears they fabricated a false case against him. Secondly, the media is saying that Trump's administration has also unmasked thousands of people while in office. That's also probably true. it's fairly routine to unmask people, again, for context, right? You're looking for context. Who's this other person on the other end of the line? But they try to minimize it because they don't want to necessarily, or supposedly, they don't want, I don't believe that, but they supposedly don't want to infringe on Americans' rights. But still, they try to minimize it, supposedly. But Trump administration officials weren't deliberately leaking that unmasking information for political purposes. Obama officials deliberately and illegally leaked that info to the media in order to cooperatively with the media undermine an incoming president. And then third, the media is repeating the mantra that Flynn pleaded guilty, so he must be guilty. They ignore the fact that there is mounting and convincing evidence that Flynn was entrapped and intimidated into a guilty plea. And if you don't believe that happens, you should ask a liberal without mentioning Flynn's name, and they will regale you with tales for hours about how unfair the justice system is, unless, of course, it's screwing over Republicans, in which case it's totally infallible. And then there's this story that Tucker Carlson had about Brennan allegedly suppressing reliable intel. If Brennan allegedly suppressed reliable intel that showed Russia wanted Hillary to win, and understand, I'm not accusing Hillary of working with the Russians, although I personally believe she was. But it's not my official accusation here. But if Brennan was doing this, if he was suppressing reliable intel that showed Russia wanted Hillary to win and instead promoting opposition research paid for by Clinton's campaign against the advice of CIA staff, by the way, because that's what the Fox News story said. It was the CIA was telling Brennan, don't, man, this is not good information that you're promoting here. And he did it anyway. And probably at Obama's behest. I'm just going to say this right now. This is the biggest political scandal in at least 100 years, perhaps even more. And people that are out there playing partisan games and the media that is ignoring this are doing so at our nation's peril. I cannot say that strong enough. I think the Republicans should go full bore on this. They should show no mercy. And there should be people in high, high levels sitting in jail a year from now. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. One other quick thing before we wrap up. I saw this on hotair.com as well. Barstool Sports founder. It's a popular website. He went on his name's Dave Portnoy. He went on a rant that was actually kind of awesome, in which he asks a very simple question. We've done everything that they've told us. We've stayed inside. And the whole idea was, and I've been asking this too, but the whole idea was to flatten the curve. When did they change the game? When did they change the rules? He's basically saying, we've done everything you told us to do. When did you change the rules? Because now we're staying inside until there's a cure. You're hearing experts, quote unquote, experts say this. And yet the experts are consistently wrong. I don't know if you saw this the other day, but Georgia and Florida both reopened early. They were both late to close, and then they both reopened early. And they now have had the fewest, their cases are declining, and they're having each day the fewest number of cases so far. The media basically pilloried the governor of Florida and the governor of Georgia for opening up, saying, you're going to kill thousands of people. You're going to kill a bunch of people's grandma. And everybody was throwing stones at them. Where do they go now to get an apology? Because, dude, this is crazy. And again, it's still early, but I mean, it's been more than 2 weeks since Georgia reopened and their cases are declining. And 2 weeks is supposed to be the absolute outside window of the gestation period of this virus, right? So you would, within 2 weeks, you would see a spike if there was a problem, and you're not seeing a spike, you're seeing a decline. So those same experts that are telling us we have to stay basically in our house forever and we can never go to a concert again and this virus is going to be here forever until we get a vaccine, and then, oh yeah, hey, by the way, make me lots of money because I'm connected to this pharmaceutical company that's going to come up with this amazing vaccine all of a sudden, right? Those same experts have been wrong each and every step of the way. First, we're not supposed to wear masks because it wouldn't do any good, and now we're supposed to wear masks, and in some places you'll get arrested if you don't. I mean, what? In Kentucky, it's not a mandate. They backed off that. They were like originally, but what the governor's doing, my understanding is like he might come after a business if they don't make you wear a mask in the store or whatever. I mean, this whole thing is just ludicrous. Yes, you should wear a mask. I think you should wear a mask. It just makes sense. Keeps particulates out of your face from other people's faces. Yes, 6 feet apart. But we should absolutely be able to open restaurants and retail stores and everything now and get back to work. But that is, I believe with all my heart, there are certain left-leaning states and certain left-leaning politicians who are counting on government bailouts. They know they won't pay a political price for quote-unquote saving lives. And I think they're doing everything they can to keep the economy as bad as possible to give a washed up, decrepit, old guy who doesn't know whether his teeth are secured in his face or whether he's sniffing someone's wife's hair or what state he's in, give him a better chance of becoming president of the United States than Joe Biden. So there you go. All right, I'm done with all that. Okay. We're going to do some fun stuff that's not political coming up, I promise. I'm tired of COVID, so we're going to talk about stuff other than COVID. But I do have an interesting podcast coming up in the next episode with Dr. Charles Pemberton, a clinical therapist. And we're going to talk about this idea of a viral worm getting in our head and in our brain and affecting society. And it's made easy and possible by social media. And it's this idea of fear, and it's making us much easier to control. And so, you know, you're seeing terms like stay home, stay healthy, stay home, stay safe. Every commercial on TV is telling you to stay home, stay safe, which is cognitive dissonance, right? Come buy our stuff, but also stay home, stay safe. Don't go anywhere. Come buy our stuff and then stay home, stay safe, right? We're going to dive into like sort of what's going on in the brain of human beings and how that's aided by social media and whether or not there's a social conditioning that's taking place and whether or not it's being coordinated at some high level. I don't think it initially started out that way, but I do believe that there are members of our ruling elite that are absolutely working to take advantage of this situation. So anyway, thanks for listening. If you want to help us spread the word, we're getting thousands of downloads a week, which is awesome. The best way you can help me out is to share this podcast with your friends and family and have them subscribe. And if you subscribe on Apple, please give us a good review. That would be really helpful. If you are getting this podcast via Apple Podcasts, please take a couple minutes and go on there and put a good review up about us. Also, Google Play, we are on Spreaker, and we are on iHeartRadio. Just go to iHeartRadio and search in podcasts, search The Disruption Zone, okay? You can follow me on Instagram, and it's free to subscribe anywhere you find it. Follow me on Instagram, it's at GreatLeLondo and at The Disruption Zone. On Twitter, it's at Leland Show and at Zone Disruption. Thanks to Dynamics Productions in Lexington, Kentucky for their help with production on this program. To my co-host and co-executive producer, Cameron Mills, I am Leland Conway. Thanks for listening to The Disruption Zone.